Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose.
All dolphins.
All the time.
Touchdown!
Now, here's your host,
Brendan Tobin
and Alejandro Solana.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. Tobin and Solana here with you. Solana has made it back from hell. Congratulations, man. I was worried about you, that you're going to be stuck in Buffalo.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back, man. I never want to go to that awful city ever again. Just right. give me 80 degrees and 100% humidity for the rest of my life.
Of course, unless it's the AFC Championship and breaking their hearts, then you'll brave it for one more trip.
Oh, then I'm back there in a second for sure.
Sign me up. How are you feeling? What are we, 48 hours out now? How is your mindset going into this last 3-game stretch? We got a good fortune over the weekend. McCorkle Jones, I mean, the worst tackler I've ever seen in my life. And the Jets are jetting. So the AFC stays relatively the same. The Dolphins are in seventh right now because of the tiebreaker to the Chargers. So after a valiant effort and not too much playoff damage, how do you feel going into the final 3 weeks of the season?
You control your own destiny. You win all 3 games, you're in the playoffs. Even if you don't beat the Packers, you beat the Jets, you beat the Patriots, you're in the playoffs. The Dolphins should make the playoffs. That's how I'm feeling right now. They're going to make the playoffs. And considering how they played the other day against Buffalo, you feel like they can beat any team in the NFL, right, Tobin? Like, you feel like they can go into Buffalo again and beat them. Do I want that to happen? Would I have preferred to win the AFC and have a better matchup in the first round of the playoffs? For sure. But that's out of the question now. So I turn my sights on the Dolphins figuring things out the last 3 weeks, improving their play, hopefully staying healthy. And I still feel confident that they can beat anybody.
Yeah, because I know you said going into the Bills game, your confidence was shaken a little bit. Did this game reinvigorate some of that, even in a loss?
It did. It did. And I'm not doing the moral victory thing. Dolphins should have won that game. They left a ton of points on the board and they had it late and they just, they fumbled it. They fumbled the opportunity to go in there and beat Buffalo. But it did, because if you had to describe to me one of the toughest environments, one of the toughest situations, scenarios for the Dolphins, it would be coming off 2 losses against teams you feel like you should have beaten, in Buffalo, in the snow, in December, with a lot on the line. And Miami, in my opinion, if you would have given me that scenario 3 months ago before the season started, I would have said, yeah, the Dolphins are going to get blown out. And even going into that game, Tobin, I felt like this one was going to get bad. I thought it was going to get real ugly. And the Dolphins showed me that, they can play in those games. They can.
Yeah, I think that it's frustrating retroactively, because I think that they all believe this. McDaniel kind of referenced this today and in his post game, is that like this effort feels like it definitely would have been good enough to at least get you one of the 2 games against San Francisco or Los Angeles, if not both, especially the way that the offense felt like it was flowing in a much better spot. It didn't take like such a mucky start to get where they needed to go. I think for the fan base that's discouraged, I get it. Like, look, there are scars in this fan base. December swoons are all too familiar. And look, it's great for us to say it, but if they go out there and they poop the bed in any one of these games, which it's football, it can happen. No one's going to want to hear about the valiant effort that they had against the Bills. That being said, I really think that any level of this play should get them wins against all three of these teams. And I think even like, I think this is a team that I don't feel like has gotten the national respect all year. And I felt like in a lot of ways that game and a loss garnered them a lot more respect than they have gotten all year. I was like reading Contenders Pretenders. People are into the Dolphins. I think Stephen A. Smith even said today on First Take, the Dolphins showed they can hang with anybody. So in a strange way, the respect I feel was gained for how they played, because nobody thought that they were going to go there in that weather and hang with Buffalo and put in, you know, that game going over and all of that stuff. But, you know, I think the thing that's frustrating as it is a fan is just like, man, it sucks that it took two speed bumps to get that kind of a performance, because the Cali trip was just a disaster, it feels like.
Yeah, and you said it after the game. Had they played half as good as they did in Buffalo, they don't lose those games, at least not to the Chargers, right? Like, as bad as they played, they had a chance to win it at the end. So, you know, you feel like you really dropped the ball, especially against the Chargers. That's the one. I think you may have even said that. I don't know if on the pod or I was listening to your show, but like, that's the one that you're going to remember later on in the season. That's the one where if you end up as a 7 seed in the wild card picture and you're in Kansas City in the first round of the playoffs to play the Chiefs and Arrowhead, that's the one you're going to circle, and you could have played the Titans, or you could have played Baltimore or Cincinnati, a team you feel like you have a much better opportunity against than going into, you know, the bleep show that'll end up being Arrowhead in January.
Yeah, because it's like, if you look back to the season and you think about the start of the season, the 3-game losing streak is disappointing, and there were certainly winnable games there. But let's be real about it. They had some really bad quarterbacking situations between Tua getting stretchered off the field, spotters taking Teddy Bridgewater away, all that weird stuff. Like, I can't get too mad about it looking at it retroactively.
Yeah.
But you win the 5 in a row. Yeah, that to me is going to be the one that's frustrating. Both San Francisco and Los Angeles are frustrating, but LA for sure I think is the most, because you stayed out west. There was all this talk about the communication, all this preparation. The whole point of it is to have this extra preparation. And they came out like such duds in that game.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be, if they miss the playoffs or if they get a bad matchup, for sure that's going to be the one we're going to be looking at being like, what the hell happened there? But I do feel like they got, like, even Josh Allen was saying, he goes, I think we're going to face them again. Like, I think we have a very good chance of facing them again. So even Josh Allen has, you know, I think there's respect there that he knows that this was a top-notch team that he went up against. It's just upon them. They got to get the results these next 3 weeks.
And didn't it feel to you, Tobin, that was a team in Buffalo that has just been in those situations and the Dolphins haven't? I mean, bottom line, you know, they haven't won anything. We know that. But they're still a team that's been in those situations. They played playoff games together already. They've been in games like that time and time again late in the season. And truthfully, the Dolphins haven't been in many meaningful games. And when they have been, they've lost them. So to me, that was just a team that knew how to win that type of football game in that type of environment, in this type of scenario late in the season. And the Dolphins still have some growing pains. I mean, that's what I took away from it late in the fourth quarter, where Mike McDaniel goes away from what's working with you and running the football. And then the Dolphins defense puts them in a perfect situation to go up 2 scores. And they don't go up 2 scores. Instead, they go up 8 points. And then when you get the ball back, tie game now, you have to go down the other end of the field and put points up on the board, and you don't. And Buffalo makes you pay for it.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, like, look, Josh Allen is element proof. You know, like, that guy, even if he doesn't have it all the time, you know, I thought it was a pretty streaky game from him. You know, that's the thing is, like, yeah, we can get on the defense for, you know, the big plays they gave up, but they also had big opportunities and put the offense in the spot. I just think that when you're going up good team for good team, every game is going to have its waves, and every team is probably going to have moments where you'd be like, man, we could have done that better. We could have executed that better. But Josh Allen ultimately came through in the biggest spots when things weren't necessarily perfect. And, you know, I think that is the growth that has to happen. And I think Mike McDaniel is trying to implement that a lot with Tua and a lot of the young guys on this team. But I think that, you know, Tua mentioned this after the game, where it's like, I do think a lot of our leaders stepped up in a big way. And if you really look back at it, like Tua, Waddle, Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins, Javon Holland, you know, and Tyreek, like they all had really bright spots in a lot of these, in a lot of pockets for that game. It's just, you know, Buffalo and then them are a very even team. We've played two games now, and these games have both gone down to the wire. One, you know, one they blamed on the sun, and the other, I guess they have no belly aching because their fans can just throw snowballs willy-nilly at people.
Truthfully, Tobin, the only leader that didn't step up was Xavier Howard.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only guy that didn't have a great game that you were expecting to have a great game. And I'm not trying to pick on X. Like, we all love X, but he really didn't have a good game. He didn't have that game you were –
Yeah,
he doesn't have that game you were expecting. But the idea that anytime Buffalo can't move the ball, they can just tell their 6'15 quarterback, that's what it seems like. He's 6'15".
Yeah.
Just run it. Go get the first down. Like that's such a weapon to have, bro. It's crazy. I hate to admit it. You have to tip your cap to him because he's legit. He's a real deal.
It's interesting with X too. Like, I wonder if this continues this year, like what fan reaction will be, because Xavier Howard is arguably the best Dolphin over the last 10 years. Maybe it's him and Cam Wake. Like those are the two guys, but you know, he's had some pretty public spats with money that always turns fans off. So I wonder what it's going to be like if this is the decline, if this is the downhill. I know that he's very clearly physically dealing with something, but I don't know if that gets better because cornerback, when it falls off, it seems to fall off. So if we are seeing the decline of somebody, like what is the fan base's reaction going to be to X? Because I don't necessarily know, for as great as he is, I don't know if he's going to go down as like this all-time beloved Miami Dolphin. I think Cam Wake has that. And I think that should this season have a shortcoming and it doesn't go far, winning cures all. But like, let's just say this is like make the playoffs and they're bounced. I wonder what the fan base reaction is going to be like to Xavier Howard because of what looks like a pretty steep decline this year.
Especially with that shiny new toy right behind him, who's undrafted, and Kader Kohou. I mean, that dude is, he's looking like the real deal, bro. He is, right?
He is. Yeah, for sure. He's had a really, really good year. To be put in a tough spot where your high-priced cornerback in Byron Jones is out, I think San Francisco is like the only game I could really point to and be like, man, he looked like a rookie and really bleeped up. But I thought that he really bounced back the next week.
Yeah.
I thought the pass interference call on him was garbage. I mean, compared to what Buffalo was doing, they were basically mauling Tyreek Hill out there.
Oh, come on. That was easy little, pass interference.
Little jersey grab all of a sudden. We're like, oh, now we're going to throw the flags. Very interesting. You know, speaking of Tyreek Hill, when we come back on the Porpoise Pod, he calls himself out. Very interesting tweet from the Cheetah. We'll get to that coming up next. Porpoise Pod swimming on here. Tobin and Solana reacting a little bit more in depth as Solana's not rushed to the bus to Dolphins and Bills. How was it getting back to the bus? Did you have to deal with any snowballs from those heathens out there?
Yeah. Oh, they were throwing snowballs everywhere. The lights just turned out here at the studio. I don't know if you saw that, but
you were doing that for the mood and you wanted to tell me like Dolphins ghost stories. I didn't know what you were doing there for our YouTube audience. Like Solana just has a ring light on him now.
Yeah. I don't know what happened here. I mean, let me see if I can.
I think the occupants is, are you like the only one there now?
Yeah, I'm 100% the only one here. I can't turn the light on. All right.
Whatever. I mean, you look good. It's not like we can't see it. We see you good. It's just
I guess you're getting me with no lights. It's going to work.
You visually look pretty good. I mean, you got it together. You got it together, dude. So, yeah, so there were snowballs thrown at you?
Oh, yeah, snowballs on the way in. I mean, the amount of people flipping the bird at the Dolphins. It's honest. I got to be honest, man. It's a little intimidating. Like you're driving in and there's that one road in where everybody's tailgating on and everybody knows you're the Dolphins bus or it's the Dolphins coming in because it's four buses being led by police escort, right? Who else is it going to be? The Kardashians or the Dolphins? So, you know, everybody is just just yelling at you, cursing at you on the way in. And then, yeah, after the game, same exact thing. You leave the stadium and people are just by their cars waiting to yell at you. And yeah, you're getting just rocked just by pelted. Snowballs. Not as much as you'd expect, because there is a police escort. So, you know, people aren't dumb, but bro, you know, the losers couple yards away are just pelting you with snowballs. So you hear it, boom, boom, boom on the bus. It was pretty crazy. It was hectic.
I wanted to get your reaction to this. So yesterday, about Sunday afternoon, because we're taping this on Monday night, Tyreek Hill tweeted this out. Curious to get your reaction to this. He says, "I will never play like that again, Finns. Bad performance for myself last night. I'll be better." The deuces emoji. What do you make of Tyreek Hill calling himself out? Obviously, he had the drop, which would have been a tough catch, but you know, I think a star worthy catch there in Tyreek Hill, which he certainly is. He's arguably the best receiver in the league. Knowing that maybe the physical play has gotten to him the last couple of weeks, even with him getting a touchdown. What do you make of Tyreek Hill vowing to be better the rest of the way?
You know what, Tobin? I love it, man. Like, I love Tyreek Hill so much because not many players – the Dolphins didn't lose that game because of Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? Like, that it wasn't his fault. But he's stepping up. He's taking accountability for it. And I love the idea that he knows I should have played better, and I'm going to let everybody know I messed up. That's not going to happen again. So I love that from Tyreek Hill. Should have made that catch though. I don't think that was.
And Sherfield, both of them.
Well, the Sherfield one was worse because Tua throws a perfect pass to the spot it needed to be for Sherfield, and he had it in his hands and he just dropped it in the end zone. Like Tyreek Hill can drop that. You know what I mean? It's Tyreek Hill. You know he'll make up for it later on. Trent Sherfield can't drop those passes because he's Trent Sherfield. He has to make those plays in those situations because if not, you know, you're not going to get those opportunities anymore. I was more disappointed with the Trent Sherfield drop than I was a Tyreek one.
I mean, look, if Tyreek Hill's, you know, poor game is 9 catches for 70 yards and a TD on 13 targets. Yeah. Right. I mean, like you'll take it for what he's put forth this year. Tyreek Hill already has a career high in receiving yards this year in, you know, what are we talking, 14 games? I mean, like, you know, everybody thought he was going to come here and basically it feels very similar to Jimmy Butler when he came to the Heat. People thought he was coming here basically to retire, and he goes, "Oh, wait, watch this. Here's the best season I've ever had in my career." And he's been incredible. I do appreciate the call out because, you know, I think that they have said he's as hyper-competitive as it gets. And I think that's probably natural for him to feel like if we came up short anywhere, it was probably on me. And I'm sure when he watches film and he does see that drop, it does eat him up that he has that. But dude, Dolphins receiving record, highest receiving yards of your career. I think he's 2 or 3 catches away from passing his career high in receptions. He's been incredible this year, every which way. He's been the game changer. I mean, like the dude legitimately, I think at one point this year had an MVP case. That's probably been taken by Jalen Hurts, but like there was a point there. I mean, look, the voting came out today. Him and Tua are 1-2 in fan vote right now in Pro Bowl voting.
Yeah, I think Dolphins fans are just doing a heck of an insane job on social media pushing the Dolphins love. You got to love that.
You see this Ben Volen with his sass on Twitter?
Is he back? Is Ben Volen back?
I didn't like what he did today. You know, like worry about the Patriots not knowing how to end a game. You know, like what do you comment? Oh, good for the Dolphins. They can stay on their computers more than any. Like, I'm sorry. Do the Dolphins have this overwhelming over the years where the Dolphins have not been really nationally relevant other than their shame? So the Dolphins actually have a product that everybody wants to watch. Proof positive by the fact that they're a national television product the last 3 weeks. This Ben Volen's got a problem with Tua and Tyreek Hill being atop the voting. That seems silly to me.
Listen, the Ben Volen shtick has gotten to me because I don't hate Ben Volen. I know Dolphins fans didn't like him, and rightfully so, by the way. Like, he's been very critical of the Dolphins. He had Mac Jones as a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa this year. I mean, he was as adamant as everybody that Tua Tagovailoa is not better than Mac Jones, and he even had Zach Wilson as better than Tua, arguably. So that tells you all you got to know about Ben Bolin at this point.
I think it's great, first of all. Like, good. Okay, so first of all, you think that the Dolphins are positively reacting to their players more than anybody else. Tell me when has that ever been a negative? Let me know in the history of sports when it is a negative for your players or for your fan base to come out in droves to support their players. Like, that's supposed to be a positive thing. We're mocking this. We're being glib about this. I think that's silly. And by the way, thinking that Tua's or Mac Jones is a better quarterback, how about Bill Belichick coming out and telling you McCorkle can't even throw the ball for a Hail Mary? Doesn't trust him. That was beautiful. I listened to WEEI on the way to work today on the Odyssey app. Oh, what a delight that was, Solana. It was good.
The final call of that game, I mean, Scott Zolak literally says, this is the dumbest team I've ever watched. Patriots, think about how bad it has to get for the Patriots radio analyst on the Patriots radio network to flat out say, this is the dumbest team I've ever watched. That's how bad it's gotten.
I'm glad you mentioned radio analysts. I actually brought you up today on the show, and I wanted your thoughts on this. I don't know if you're obviously a much bigger soccer fan than I am, but everybody was obviously captivated by the World Cup, France, Argentina. I actually turned in 2-0. I was like, I'll watch Messi go and win the World Cup. That's cool. And there's Mbappe. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Kylian.
Mbappe. He was good. 2 goal. He's just lighting it up, and he ties it up in Argentina. Excuse me. Argentina gets all nervous, and then there's big saves, big goals. It's soccer. I tell you what, you guys, I don't see why you like it.
Yeah, welcome to the bandwagon, Tobin. I'm glad to have you.
Well, I was, you know, Messi's going to be a future pink, so I had to scout. You know, scout, see if he's got the goods, see if he's good enough for MLS. But I saw this video of Andres Cantor, who, of course, he's the famous soccer goal for everybody. I didn't know he was Argentinian. I didn't know that he was Argentinian. And there's this amazing video I saw on Instagram of him doing the final call. And he is weeping with Argentina winning the World Cup. It was really something beautiful. Like, Argentinian fans, are you an Uruguay fan? Are you guys cool? Like, they kind of stole your flag. I don't.
No, Uruguay and Argentina were not cool. That's like.
So you were rooting for France.
It's Yankees, Red Sox. Ah. You know, I was rooting hard for France. I was, truthfully.
Well, either way, I felt really good for him that he had to have this beautiful moment. He's a legend, and he was crying. And it made me wonder, let's get silly. If the Dolphins were to win the Super Bowl, you think Joe Rose is crying? You were in that booth.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Really? Wow.
These guys love Dolphins football, man. It is – I can't tell you, like, bleep it. I'll tell you. When we go out on the road, there's always like a hotel bar or whatever. We go down there, have drinks. Dan Marino's there, Nat Moore. But, you know, like, very, very harmless. Nobody's getting wrecked or anything, but just, you know, just casual conversation with the people who travel. And when I tell you these guys love themselves some Dolphins football, all they want to do is talk Dolphins football. That's it. That's all they do. They love Dolphins football. I'm telling you, if the Dolphins were to win a Super Bowl, Jimmy Cephalo's in tears. Wow. Joe Rose is in tears. Kim Bokamper, that whole tough persona, he's on the sidelines.
Really?
He's in tears. I'm telling you, these guys love Dolphins football.
We all had it as you're the only one in the background wailing in happiness, and they're looking back at you, and then Bokamper has to console you and carry you out because you're just so overcome with Dolphins joy. But you think all of them would have tears on the call or on the air, when they get off the air?
Oof. I think maybe Bokamper wouldn't. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but on the call, I think Cephalo and Joe Rose would tear up. I really do, man. I do. They care. These guys care about the organization.
I know, but they also come from an era like men's men, you know? They don't show feelings.
But when you
like, if Bokamper feels a tear coming out, I feel like he punches himself right in the nuts.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Bokamper wouldn't cry, but I can't describe, like, I can't explain it to you, but you know, when they lose a tough game, they're upset. These guys, like, they're genuinely upset. They care about this organization. And Tobin, think about it. Cephalo and Joe Rose have been doing the call now for what, 16, 17 years?
Yeah.
That's That's a lot of bad football.
A lot of different parts, you know, Greasy. Back to Mandich, they had him, you know? Like, that's a lot of memories for sure.
Memories and a lot of bad football that they've watched. They haven't called a playoff win. About that.
I know, it's crazy. Like, this city, I think, I think it's why they're so captive. I think that's why the support has been so big. You know, we've had a lot of different theories on that, but I do think that it's not only that the team is good and has had an enjoyable, but they're just fun, dude. Bombs, and we all want to do the waddle, and it's just, I really want this to end with them in the postseason. It feels like it deserves it. They have to see this through. But I was just curious, man, because that's, I think, the only thing left in town. I think the Heat winning a championship, look, they've done it so recently, even 10 years. That's not that long for a championship. The Marlins have won a championship more recently than the Dolphins have won a playoff game. Crazy. That's how long it's been. The Panthers have won a playoff series more recently than the Dolphins have won a playoff game. It's been that long. And so I was, imagine something happens that hasn't happened in 49 years. I would just wonder if they would move to tears. And you say yes. And you know what?
Yeah.
You have a better source on this than I do, because you know, you travel with these guys.
I think I really do. And they're all the manly man. And, you know, they all talk. They all think that players now are soft. Like, they come from that ilk, right? Where they went through the trenches and they grinded. And all these players now are soft. And all they care about is social media. And like, they feel that way. But just being there with them, I think they would cry. Bro, I would be inconsolable. I would just be like weeping. Like, just, I would be hugging somebody. I don't know who, but I'd be hugging somebody.
Engineer, you and the engineer embrace.
Me and the engineer, just.
Whatever, the engineer in Arizona, whoever it is.
Just hold me.
all right, that's our Porpoise Pod, everybody. Thanks for tuning on in. We'll be back later on in the week getting you ready for a little Christmas Day matchup against the Green Bay Packers. And until then, we'll talk to you next time.